This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Hello there, everybody. How are ya? It's Kevin Riley here, and welcome to Irish Time here on the Manawatu People's Radio in Palmerston North on a wonderful, wonderful sunny day. And it's going to be it's going to be like this for the next few days, which is absolutely brilliant, you know. So anyway, just listen to that. I'm going to just read stuff out of the newspapers. And there's one in particular about a guy called Gary Moore, who was a musician, and he was a class of his own. Anyway, we'll start with just a little bit of tittle-tattle. Storm Bram has hit Northern Ireland, hit Ireland in general, because I was talking to my brother earlier this morning, and he said it was pretty grim for a while. But he thought, you know, parts of Scotland, Northern Scotland, were getting worse than Northern Ireland. Anyway, Storm Bram, Donegal only county under status orange wind warning. Because, you know, 25,000 people have lost their power, and there was lots and lots of problems with the sea. Lots of ferries were cancelled. Lots of planes were cancelled. But I think it's easing off now, et cetera, et cetera. But it's interesting, actually, isn't it? Because I seem to always be spending some time talking about storms over in that part of the world. You know, they're coming in from the Atlantic.
Keep on dealing with the devil that's living inside, and I might get paid, made or laid in my soul. all you young wild brothers and calling so fair. For the band, for the booze, for the boys and girls, for good to God, for the devil may care. For the band, for the booze, for the boys and girls, for good to God, for the devil may care.
Anyway, I'll get on to this stuff about this man here. Robert William Gary Moore, who's a musician, and he was in a class of his own at the time. Many Irish music fans echoing the sentiments of one of the iconic songs, Still Got the Blues, will feel a tinge of melancholy as Gary Moore's 50th anniversary approaches next February. The Belfast-born genius, they've got him down here, was rightly considered a legend, with esteemed public publications such as Total Guitar, Classic Guitar and The Louder, having all hailed him as one of the greatest lead guitarists of all time. And that's really saying something, you know, consider all the people that are lead guitarists in at that time. You know, people from Pink Floyd, etc., etc., and a number of other quite well-known bands. Fortunately, his landmark 2016 anniversary now looks set to they're coming to get plans for a statue of him, reading Thin Lizzy legend, reading as a Thin legend in his hometown. Belfast born, City Council recently approved permission for a bronze of Moore designed by the Scottish sculptor David Anna, and best known for his statue of the living legend Billy Connolly over there in Glasgow. Gary was a wonderful guitar player, and I hope the joy he brought to so many with his talent will be revisited when his statue takes pride of place in this wonderful city of Belfast. Yeah, that other one was that, like I said, there was one of Thin Lizzy in his hometown in the south of Ireland. The crowdfunding page to raise £70,000 for the bronze statue has the backing of a lot of people who suddenly, to help hit this man, Gary, after he passed away suddenly in Spain on February 2011. It was overwhelming to see the first images of Gary's statue, said his sister Patricia, but the now completed clay model of the planned statue now feels like a reality. We always wanted this to be a statue that Gary's fans had ownership of. We wanted to allow every fan to say, I helped put this statue here. It feels so close, but there's still a long way to go. We are still looking forward to a day when people will visit Belfast to pay their respects to Gary and the statue. Moore's career resulted in him selling over 5 million albums, according to the Irish Music Bible, Hot Press magazine. Born in 1952, Gary was still only a young teenager, when he escaped from the start of the Troubles and moved to Dublin in 1968. He soon joined one of the biggest Irish bands of that era, Skid Row, famously fronted by Butch Shields. Moore, he was left stranded but taught himself how to play the guitar when he was a lot younger, and he went solo in 1971. Skid Row was a laugh, but I didn't have really fond memories of it because at the time I was very mixed up about what I was doing. I was confused, adding that he hated being treated as the band's little boy genius. It was too much for me to handle at the time, and the guys in the band were a lot older than me. Nobody ever said, well, you're playing really, really good, son. They just leave me to myself and let me work my arse off. Consequently, I just became faster and faster, trying to probably impress him more than anything else, and ended up being a lot faster than I intended to be. It was it was stupidity, really. In 1974, he was asked by his old Skid Row bandmate, Phil Lamont, to step into the shoes of another Belfast-raised musician, Eric Bell, who had just left Thin Lizzy. It was good for me, and they were easy for me to work with. I just stayed up, and I got very frustrated at times. It wasn't interesting enough to play, so I just left. Moores next started an experimental band called Coliseum 11, traveling around in a minivan on a tour for a few years with little commercial success. And then in 1977, he was asked to rejoin Thin Lizzy on their US tour supporting Queen when band member Brian Robertson cut his hand. After the tour, he went back to his previous band for a couple of years before rejoining Thin Lizzy again. At the end of the decade, they recorded their epic album Black Rose, which was a certified gold hit in the UK. Once again, the reunion was short-lived. This time, Moore was exasperated by the band's heavy drug partying and its negative effects on their private lives and their live performances. Yeah, that's interesting. In 1994, Phil LaMont, the rocker, told Moore that, you know, He had regrets about letting him in, join the band. But he had, maybe it was wrong the way I did it. I could have done it better. I could have done, you know, been a better band member, but it just didn't happen. By the age of 30, Moore, he ended up with facial scars after being involved in a bar fight in the 1970s, insisted that his own wild days were long behind him. I didn't get into a lot of fights then. Now, that's going back a bit. I mean, that's when I was with Lizzy. And I wouldn't remember half of what happened, he told the press. It was just that crazy, just a blur and so stupid. Not the later Lizzy, but the first time round, I'd do a bottle of wine before going on stage. Another while I was up on stage, and half a bottle of whiskey when I got off. So I wasn't really sure what I was doing half the time. Yeah, I was pissed. I think, though, that I got out of all that, got that out of my system in the space of 2 years. Drugs and everything. I hadn't taken drugs for a very, very long time. After leaving Thin Lizzy, Moore focused on a private career, solo career, and also recorded 2 albums with Greg Lake of Emerson, Lake and Palmer. Their fame in the early 1980s, and they were quite a well-known band. Next up, Moore would join one of the biggest hits singles with Out in the Fields with his old mucker, Phil LaMont, which appeared on his 1985 solo album Run the Cup for cover. The Moore Pan tune reached number 5 in the UK single charts and a number 3 hit back in Ireland. There was plenty of other collaborations along the way, including one most memorable with George Harrison, Albert King and Albert Collins on his 8th solo album, Still Got the Blues. The title track was Moore's only solo song to ever chart on the Billboard 100 Hot 100 in America. Moore, who also played with the likes of B.B. King, the Beach Boys and the Traveling Wilburys, was working on a Celtic rock album when tragedy struck in February 2011. And he died of a heart attack in his sleep while on holiday in Andalusia, there in Spain. He was only 58. At his funeral in Brighton, where he had lived for the last final 50 years of his life, he sort of got in touch with the Belfast Telegraph and, you know, told people that some of the mourners in the Telegraph said some of the mourners in the church wept openly when they heard the Irish ballad. Speaking at the music legend's funeral, Father Martin Morgan recalled how Morgan had performed in a local pub to help raise funds for the victims of the Haiti earthquake. Moore was, the priest said, the kindest of musicians who would play anyone for anyone to help them, you know, to raise money for a worthwhile cause. They asked lots of people to play, but Gary was the only one who turned up when asked by the priest. Lots of others said, yeah, but nothing ever happened. So he was truly a wonderful man in his own way. Thank you. Okay, so what have we got next? That is basically Ireland outperforms. Finish this little bit here and then I'll have a chat with you. Ireland outperforms North on disposable income and life expectancy. This kind of surprised me for some reason. Don't know why, most because of the troubled history of Northern Ireland. Ireland has longer life expectancy and faster growing population compared to communities north of the border, but have been highlighted in a new report. It is the first in a series of annual reports by the Economic and Social Research Research Institute. The report found that Ireland outperformed Northern Ireland across several measures of living standards, including disposable income and hourly earnings. But it also showed that unemployment was higher in the Republic at 4.4 compared to Northern Ireland at 1.8, which reflects the changes, the differences in the labour market dynamics. The report found that Ireland had higher labour force participation and employment rates. They stood at 78% and 75% respectively, higher than Northern Ireland, where the figure was 75 and 74. The Irish Prime Minister and Deputy Prime Minister said this, the debate would carry on, to try and improve the lot of the people in Ireland and in the north as well, because it is one island at the end of the day. One of the factors which reflects the effects of income, is access. One of the facts that has effect on income is access to health services and social services. In 2022, 80 years for was the men lived for 80 years of age and 84 for women in Ireland, compared to 78 and 82 in Northern Ireland. There was quite a bit of a gap there, not huge, a couple of years. It's neither here nor there in the age of things. An area of notable contrast in population growth, the report outlines how between 2017 and 2024, Ireland's population grew by 14.5%, while Northern Ireland's population grew by only 3.5%, nearly 4%. The report did not note the difference between how policy is formed in the two jurisdictions. As Ireland is a sovereign state, Northern Ireland is a devolved nation, part of the UK. But it did say the programmes for government both shared common themes of productivity, competitiveness and decarbonisation. That's a new term in this kind of day and age, decarbonisation. The work is part of a project between the governments and the Department of the Irish Prime Minister, and aims to further develop that understanding of the unique economics of Ireland, the island, and Northern Ireland coming together at some future date. And I think that will happen. Launching the report, Harris said the annual series would build on previous research done on behalf of the Shared Island Programme. He said the annual series would look at broader and deeper data comparisons of yield insights and food for thought. So it's going to be interesting to see that happens. But at the end of the day, because I personally think that, the UK is in decline, just like America in memory. It's ahead in thing, armaments and stuff like that there. But in economics, I think, they're in decline, because I think America... Donald Trump's America is, in decline. They're not going to collapse or anything like that, but they're not the strong country that they once were. They're completely isolated, so it seems, and it's all down to Trump's cutting off the assistance program. Said that Europe and the connections to Europe, saying that they're all kind of, second-rate people, basically. The countries are on the way out, and I think he should look at his own country, that it's in trouble, It's not going to collapse or anything like that overnight, but I think America is definitely on a slow decline. And, whereas China and a lot of these eastern countries in the world are, I don't know if they're on the uptake, but they are certainly moving ahead of the West. It's the old adage, the East will rule the West, and I think that's coming to fruition myself. Anyway, on that there, I will love you and leave you and wish you a safe and a happy Christmas and a wonderful new year, okay? So just take it easy and enjoy the weather while it's here, but also be dead careful, you know, when you're out there on the road, because we've, you know, we don't want to see, we don't want to lose anybody, and nobody wants to end up having serious accidents where the death is the outcome, because that's not what Christmas is all about, okay? So on that note, I will love you and leave you, and hopefully I'll hear from you next year. Until then, enjoy Christmas and have a wonderful 2026. See ya.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.mpr.nz/donate.